Yeah. Okay, so welcome to this extra session. And same as last Saturday, I just want to set aside some time for more questions and sharing and comments if there's anything. As the course progresses, more stuff's coming up, so sometimes there's just more questions and am I doing this right? And I can't quite figure this bit out, type of thing. So just to summarize. Last time on dissolving the ego, lesson one, we are tuning into the noumenon and we're learning to access what's real about ourselves. The very fact that we're doing that means we're taking attention away from the egoic sense of self. Not because the ego is wrong, it's just we're shifting to a higher place, a way of functioning, and we must be very careful not to make our ego wrong or bad, because only ego would do that. The self isn't doing that. And lesson two, we looked at how to dissolve the egoic patterns that come up that seem to take our attention away from the noumenon, from the real self, through causality and understanding of causality, cause and effect. And then last Tuesday, we looked at shifting identity over to the self. So we began to really look at the noumenon and see, is there a me and it? And can I prove to myself experientially that there is only the noumenon, that when I do that, it become clearer and clearer that there is only the self, the noumenon, and there isn't anyone who is the work in progress trying to get to the self. So that would become clearer and clearer. And I just want to repeat before we go any further that you don't have to grasp intellectually an understanding of all of this to progress. My job in this 4 weeks is to give you the information to challenge the assumptions that are holding you back. And then the natural state, the awakened state, will spontaneously arise from that anyway. That's all that we're doing. Your job is to hear the information, to expose yourself to it, to, have a gentle wish maybe to come to live as that. That is enough. To hear this again and again is the process. That's all. Consciousness, the self, noumenon, learns by repetition. So whatever you hear enough times is going to be accepted, and you'll become that information. It's not like cramming for an exam where you've got to stick so many facts in your head and hope they don't fall out your ears, So just to hear it again and again is going to allow that to be assimilated. As such, it's tremendously helpful, these Q&A sessions. If you have a question, we can go through it, we can go to the answer, and it helps everyone who is doing the course. Not everyone can be live on these sessions, but they'll watch the recordings afterwards. And every question you ask helps every person that hears it. Okay, so, okay, we're off and running. Before I even say it, we have a question, so we'll go to Vidya or Saboteur.
Thank you. It's when you're saying become, I recognize then it's very much must mean being, and that oneness, or just being as that, as awareness. It's almost like talking about it takes you away from it in a sense, even though it can't. But it's just really clearer that there's not the two. It just seems one more and more, looking from that. And happening by itself, so like you said, it'll just it yeah I never really put words to it, but when you said integrate, but even some of the things that I'm hearing in the we're watching your last one today, and even hearing the word transmute, there's something that is so just somehow knows when you're seeing from that self, that's all there is. There isn't a separate, even other. It's almost like it's just here. And I couldn't see anything else, so there could be nothing that could transmute. There's nothing. There is and there isn't, you know, but when I'm just seeing from that place, you almost can see there's just here, there's just awareness. And at times it's like I was looking at it and looking from this place, and almost like you're standing on the edge of like a windowsill, and everything is so clear that there isn't anything other than right here.
Yeah.
Looking at itself. I don't know.
I don't know if I've explained it very well. It's back to lesson two again, isn't it? If I think I am the ego and I'm trying to get to the self, I'll keep experiencing two-ness. You know, I'll try to get to self and get away from ego, and I'll really keep experiencing there is two. But from the self, there isn't really such a thing as ego. It's just a way that the self is showing up, thoughts and emotions and contractions and all of that, isn't it? The ego. So the self doesn't see one or the other. So it's just all seen as the one from there, isn't it? That it's just here. I am that here-ness, and everything arising inside the here-ness is also made of this here-ness, you know, as we'll look at in next lesson. And there's nothing, it really is the end of the seeking now, because there's no two-ness. I'm not trying to get away from anything or move towards something. It's a stopping in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, because I even looked to see, well, am I thinking about it? Is there imagination? I don't know what the mind, where's the mind? And I thought, no, it's a seeing. It has to be, because it's just appearing. So it has to be not even appearing. It's not even appearing. It's just is, just being that.
There's no seam or no division between from the self viewpoint of the self. The self doesn't see ego, not even as a separate thing. If I think I am an object, I'll see objects everywhere, and I'll treat the self as an object or something to get to without realizing. But from the subjectivity itself, the noumenon, it doesn't see any objects at all. You know, it sees only itself everywhere. Mm-hmm. In all its disguises, as thoughts, as emotions, as human bodies, all of it. It's just got a lot simpler from there, and that's why it's important to shift identity over. Then everything can happen as it needs to, the unfolding, the letting go, you know, discharging of all these energies and everything.
Yeah, so you could even say it's a knowing. There's no one to know it, it's knowing.
Knowingness itself, yeah.
Knowingness itself, yeah.
Pure intelligence, isn't it? Without anybody being intelligent.
Mm.
Yeah. Which it lends its intelligence to the mind then and to the body, and the body seems to be sentient, and the mind seems to be sentient. But they're really inert without self, the pure sentient itself. Yeah. Lovely.
Thank you.
Fantastic, thank you. Okay, Sharon.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. I was listening to the interview that Michael did with you again. I had listened to it before. You know, when I was a child, my mother used to tell me, we had a President Roosevelt in the States, United States, and he would say, the only thing to fear is fear itself.
Mm-hmm.
My mother would repeat that, but she was always afraid. I mean, she said it, but, you know, now, when I listen to what, you know, when I see that you experience this fear, and I have a couple people that I've spoken to that over the course of this process that have experienced this terror. And what I guess what I'm afraid of is I live with my husband, my dog, and my son doesn't live far. I don't want to be like, because I have had terror. I mean, you know, when, you know, I've had that in my life more times than I can count. And I'm not exactly comfortable. Now, I know that you come from the noumenon, so you can hold it, because the noumenon can hold it all, because it is all. So the fear itself is me, right? It's not like I have to be afraid of it, like, oh, like that. I just have to kind of embrace it and not be, you know, and I guess the reason I'm talking about this is because, you know, I've heard people who have gone through this awful, awful fear, and it reminded me of my postpartum depression, and I got scared. So what do you have to share about that? Because I don't know, you know, is this going to stop me from waking up, this fear that I'm afraid of?
No. You know? No, not at all. No. It'll just be experienced as an ever greater ability to embrace anything and everything. And fear of fear is still just fear.
Fear. Without a story, you just feel it. Now, here's
it's just fear. And it's not an issue from the self. The self, it doesn't have any preference to whether it feels fear or bliss. And from that place, it's possible to feel both at the same time, peace, fear, and bliss possible at the same time. And if you can imagine that for a second, you can kind of get a taste of the fact that it wouldn't really matter so much about the sensation in the body, which is what fear is, if it's cushioned by peace and maybe ever, you know, being bliss or love. And the more that we can just go into anything that's coming up, the more it will be embraced by peace as well. It'd be happiness inside a greater peace. And that is, it makes it possible to feel anything at all completely, no matter how intense it is, how long it goes on for. As an egoic sense of self, it's not possible to deal with that amount of fear, and that's why it's suppressed. But from the self, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because like I remember when I was fearful, now, these are memories, and that's what really is the problem here. It's not like what's happening now. I'm not at all depressed. I'm the space has been alive for me. It's dreamlike for a couple of years, and I was thrown off because, you know, I started to think there were cataracts, and then I went to the doctor, and he said, no, you have small cataracts. So, you know, I have this belief that I'm not going to wake up because I have, you know, X, Y, and Z. And there's always a reason. And I know that listening to you, you had the same thing. But is it true now that if this is like, I don't have to access the noumenon. The noumenon is very, very powerful in my experience. Along with that, there's still these strong beliefs.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no content that can arise in the contextual field that can stop the field from seeing itself.
Okay.
So there is no sound that can stop the silence from recognizing itself. Nothing at all. When it wants to see itself, nothing on this earth or in this entire universe can stop that recognition happening. In fact, the phenomena that arise, like fear, like pain, all of that are actually, and it can be an aid to that recognition, that it becomes so constrictive to focus tension on phenomena that we just don't want to do it anymore. You know, that's the driving force behind it. All of these negative emotions and everything that come up, these patterns that go on and on, being the driving force for the field to recognize itself. Okay, enough. I'm done with the content of the field. I know where that goes. I'm not going to make it wrong. You know, feel whatever I'm feeling in the body, and whatever thoughts are going on. But nothing can stop the field. It's like saying an 80,000-seater stadium, and there's one guy seated in one seat at the front shouting, you know, and it's like saying the stadium can't recognize it as the stadium just because of this one guy right down at the front shouting, trying to distract attention. you know, it's just not, it's not going to work.
So could it be that I already, because I, you know, you talk about the access of the, of the noumenon, and I don't have to access it because it's the first thing I see when I get up. It's just, I don't know why. And you know, I don't understand.
It's only identity shifting means I don't have to tune into it. I am it, you know, and it just becomes clearer that if I'm here, it's here.
There's a belief in my mind, though, that it need, because my head from here to here, it's, there's tremendous space, and then it won't go all the way down. So the mind says, well, if it doesn't go all the way down like Helen, you'll never be awake.
And did I do anything to make it go all the way down, or did I see that's not my job? What does the field have to do? What does the silence have to do to embody this? Is that even my job here?
Right. And at the same time, I want to ask you, like, you know, I'm a little scattered today, but it's not your, no, life is living us. I understand. But is it like the other issue that comes up? I mean, you know, there's still a lot of stuff that's still, you know, obviously I wouldn't be in this group if I didn't need the help and confidence, you know. People, now this is, there are no people really because we're just an appearance. So I have friends that are on the path, and I've tried to, you know, tell them that they're the infinite, and they say, no, we can't be that. No. And they're actually Course in Miracles people. And now they've chosen to go with this conspiracy theory, which is ridiculously another story. And I don't judge. The mind in me thinks they're crazy. I will tell you that. Because I think to spend time, like my friend was over yesterday and she said, read about the vaccines. You've got to know that these vaccines are, you know, because you don't know truth. And I'm like, no, I'm not going down that path. Why would I want more story?
But so why is the issue? What's the challenge?
Well, I'm judging. I'm actually thinking, like, why are they wasting their time on a story? Of course, that's my mind in a story. But I'm like, at the same time, I'm thinking, they can't be choosing it. They can't be.
Are you judging? Are you judging? Are you judging?
No. The ego.
So what does it matter what ego does or what mind does to you?
Okay.
If it matters, then you're being the ego.
Well, I just want to be, you know, the way I handle my friends when they have these beliefs is I just listen, because I don't think they're choosing
it. They are where they are, and it's fine. You don't have to try to change that. But if you just clearly see, lesson three will help you see clearer. This isn't my problem, actually. There is a, you know, I'm just watching from the noumenon. I'm watching the mind and the ego do its thing. And the self cannot reject anything. It certainly doesn't reject the egoic sense of self. Is you just leave it alone, finally. It's not wrong. I'm just not going to identify with it anymore. I'm looking at the ego. It should be clearer and clearer, not from the ego. I'm already looking from the place I'm trying to get to. Let's see what happens to my ego when I really see that deeply. It just kind of becomes more harmonious, more sattvic, more pure. Has more loving thoughts, more harmonious expressions, less judgmental thoughts. All of that is happening by itself. You don't even need to do that. If you just don't trouble yourself with ideas that you have to do something here.
So what you're really saying too is that, you know, there's no independent entity. So people that believe certain things, they're not choosing it either. They can't
be. Nope. They're caught in whichever energy field causality loops that they're caught in, and they didn't choose that, like none of us did. Once the self buys this idea that it is a limited being, it is caught in that trap until it just becomes so painful. The last bit of that trap is, I've got to get out of it, I've got to wake up, I've got to come out. Still, it's not really true for you. You just are, you're just here. The waking up is just something that's happening to mind and body, mm-hmm. with a clearer and clearer seeing. The noumenon is seeing itself, and that reflects in the mind and body. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so I think that's probably good for me now to hear this. And
it's good for us all to hear, isn't it? Because it's the one job we think we have to do left, which is to wake up, you know, and it's happening by itself. The changes in the mind and body in your world are happening as a reflection of clearer seeing. All there is to do is to see clearer, confirm. There isn't anyone here that's doing anything. Keep looking, experiencing it. And that just begins to reflect in a more effortless way of your life functioning, your body functioning, your mind functioning. The effortlessness, that already there-ness of the self just begins to reflect more, you know, in the thoughts and everything.
Yeah, and I think that the more, like, I listen to the Dissolving the Ego course, it helps more, because it's probably the third step is the one that really was, like, you know, the most powerful one, you know, for me anyway, you know, and I'm going to be doing that after this satsang. So yeah, I'm good. I'm just, you know, of course this doubter, but it's just thought. So I just have to let it go.
Just leave it be. Finally, we can just love the ego. We don't need to change it. We don't need to try to make it into the self. It is the self, but it's a contracted expression. It's the result of the self thinking it's a separate being. Don't need to change that. It'll dissolve by itself. Remember, right back in lesson one, we said, only thing to do is to put attention on what's real. Naturally, the ego will start to dissolve into a more fluid, more functional thing just by that. Yeah, so just that simplicity is enough.
You know, it's funny, when I first met you, I said, after I met you, I thought, she really wants to wake everybody up. I mean, she's determined, like, and I know you're not, because you're the noumenon, but I think the passion in you, the fire in you is like, come on,
I just don't see why it should be so difficult if it's clearly explained and systematic. Here's what to do next, here's what to see next. That's kind of my mission, what drives me, and it's just been very, I don't know, it could use some more refining, methodical way, you know. It's the most important thing human beings can realize, isn't it? So yeah, lovely.
Thanks
for sharing. Okay, Ian or Maggie?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can.
Good. You're right.
I am. Thank you.
I've been trying to treat lesson three like I've not done it before.
Good.
I've really tried to, you know, just say this is never done it before. And so when I'm checking in, or when I'm kind of tuning, or however you want to phrase it, the silence and the big sense, like a presence of being here, like an energetic presence of being here. And then there's a sense, again, I check in, and there's a sense that I can't actually find anything there when I'm looking.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. But then I've kind of, really kind of looking at whether this thing that's here is eternal, is everlasting. Because I know at some point the body will go.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to explore that thing. Do I need... does the body need to be here for me to be here, if you see what I mean?
That's a good thing to explore.
Yeah, it's been quite interesting. Oh, because I've been doing that, and then I've been having more pain in the body. Also, sometimes I'm just sat watching TV, and I'm suddenly these feelings come through the body. Like, I don't know whether I'm buying into some thought that I've, that just crept in there, and I'm just, you know, that's why I'm experiencing the pain or discomfort. So it would appear that, or you could, well, maybe that I've gone backwards a bit because I've experienced more pain. But maybe that's not true. I guess my question is, the only thing I can come back with at the moment is when I genuinely try and work out what's here, I don't know what is here, apart from I know I'm here.
You can say what it's not, Kai. You can say what the noumenon isn't. It isn't in its unmanifest appearance, rather, it's not a thing. It doesn't have any quality. It doesn't smell like anything. You can't touch it with your hands. It's not changing. It's not moving. It's not all of that we could go through. So what's the issue?
I still haven't quite... Or there's something I still hasn't quite convinced myself that the thing that's here is everlasting and is everywhere.
Okay, do you want to look at that now? That would be.
Yeah.
There's three things, three stages, and the first is to recognize it's here. There is something beyond the mind and body that's here, which is kind of lesson one. And then lesson three will help us to confirm that I am that, actually. And then it really helps to recognize that what we are isn't going to disappear ever. And also that it doesn't depend on the body at all. I'm come to a clear and experiential proving to myself that when the body goes, I'll remain totally unaffected and still here forever. That would be good to prove, wouldn't it?
Would be, because I think I'm still not totally convinced about it.
That's absolutely fine, it could be an exciting thing. I'm not 100% convinced, actually. I'd like to. Can I be a little bit more convinced today? Can we go through it again? Can I be a little more convinced, as if it's not just it's not a negative thing, is it?
No, it's like. I know I've maybe done this a few times, but it's getting...
I had to do this a few hundred times before I was convinced. And I can still get more convinced as I do this with you, even more.
See, it's very easy for me to say, from a logical point of view, when I look and recognise that there's nothing here, and yet I'm here, there's nothing that I can grab hold of, it's formless. Mm-hmm. And I've totally lost my thread. I can see the logical step that if something is formless, that must mean it's everywhere because it hasn't got an edge, so it must be everywhere.
Yeah.
But there's something that's still saying I'm not totally convinced about that yet.
Why? What is the evidence? What evidence can you give me that you're not everywhere? What's the reason behind the doubt? Totally valid. I'm not invalidating it. Let's work with the why are we convinced that we are somewhere? Everyone that wants to join in with this can do this because it's really going to be very useful. Everyone listening.
I guess because. Say the question again, sorry.
What evidence can you give me? You say that you're not 100% convinced of your everywhereness, that it's more of a theoretical knowledge, and you'd like it to be an experiential thing. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, so I know you. I'll just say it. So my senses, which I know are from the body.
Yeah.
But they are telling me very much that I'm here.
So when I look through my human senses, it really, really seems and feels like that I'm somewhere in time and space. Yeah, there's a real strong sense because these eyes are only appearing in one place, looking. And there seems to be a distance between what I'm looking at and all my senses are taking in differently to the next human body. Every experience is unique there. Yeah. So let's have a look at that then. That's compelling evidence when we look through the senses, the fact that you're somewhere and you're not everywhere. Can you do anything with your senses and your mind to prove that you're everywhere? Can you somehow, can we do some trick with them somehow? Is it possible to prove through the senses at all? It's a bit of a trick question, this one.
Yeah, not these senses, because these senses that I use are from this body.
And so if you continue to pay attention to only the senses, are you ever going to feel or come to a profound knowing that you're everywhere? Or is it going to keep reinforcing the sense that you're somewhere, someone?
They're not up to the job either. They're not up to that job to notice everywhere.
And they're not supposed to be. They're not supposed to be, are they? Yeah. It's like asking that one guy in the 80,000-seater stadium to tell me what the whole stadium looks like. Even if he somehow ran around and told us, he would still, if he was running and telling us what everywhere looks like, he'd still only be doing it from one place, wouldn't he? Yeah. So, is the evidence then that you are somewhere, is that acceptable in your, as evidence in your inquiry as to whether you are everywhere or not, whether you feel everywhere? Because if we were examining evidence in a criminal procedure, let's say, for example, and we'd want to know if the evidence was reliable, wouldn't we? So can we take the evidence of a finite mind that's happening in one location, thoughts in one head, and experiences happening in one body only, and sense perception happening in one body only? Is that reliable evidence? Would it be admissible as evidence as to whether you are actually somewhere or everywhere? If the senses are incapable of perceiving your everywhereness through no fault of their own, and so is your mind, is that going to be good enough evidence?
No, it's not, because they're not up to the job either. They're only up to the job of
perceiving from one location. Yeah. So those are fine. Senses of the mind, the body, you seem to be somewhere, and we can just leave that there. There seems to be someone somewhere. Can leave it right where it is. Okay, what evidence can we accept then of your everywhereness? What faculty can you use to prove your everywhereness? Is there anything else that you can use that's going to be more reliable?
So there's this way of perhaps I can use this sense of here-ness that's here.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how.
So just to recognize this here-ness present, or awareness, or whatever we're calling it, stillness, silence. Here-ness is here. And can you find a you in it?
No, it's just
the here-ness. That's very good. So the conclusion must be, I am that here-ness. And again, we can always be more convinced of that. Right now, we'll just work with where you are on that. So if you are that here-ness, where do you end? And again, we're temporarily setting aside anything that arises in one location. So in one location is thoughts, feelings, sensations, sense perception, emotions, experiences. They're all happening in one location. They're not wrong. They're just, we've got to set them aside temporarily as evidence, and using only the here-ness itself to answer this question now. Where am I now then? What's my feeling now? Where is the here-ness? Again, there doesn't need to be an aha moment here. There may be, and it's fine. There isn't, it doesn't matter. Just getting clear on what is acceptable evidence is a huge leap forward. And then, and why, you know, without making the mind wrong and all that. Now the here-ness, the silence, whatever we're calling it, the noumenon, where is that? It's very much present, but where is it? And how far does it reach in all directions from my body? But where does it go? Where does it stop? When does it bump up against something and come to an edge? Is that even a possibility for it? Something that has no tangibility at all, is even less tangible in the air that we're breathing right now.
It doesn't appear to bump up against anything.
Could it? Even if we put an object in the middle of it, would it bump up against even an object? Doing really good here. Really good. I hope everyone's following along. You're never going to put your hand up ever again, are you?
No, it's cool. It's cool. I'm trying to like, it's, there's something just, there's nothing kind of bumping against it, or it's just here, and yet it does seem to be, yeah, I'm forgetting my senses, right, okay.
Just temporarily. And it's still functioning, you're still hearing these words, nothing wrong with the senses, just maybe we're giving them a job to do that they're not capable of.
I'm finding that sentence really good, really useful, that they're not designed.
Surely only the here-ness itself is qualified to evaluate where the here-ness is and where it isn't, if it is missing from somewhere. If you set off now to walk, your body began to walk, where would you lose that sense of here-ness? How far would it reach? In any direction you wanted to go, or even get in the car and drive as fast as you can, when would you arrive at there instead of here?
You wouldn't. It's always here, isn't it? Always here.
Can the here-ness have an edge at all? Can everyone can follow this along, whether they're using the word awareness or consciousness or beingness or presence? How far in any direction does it reach?
I don't know, because I can't.
What could cause it to come to an end? If we set off a hand grenade in the here-ness, would that destroy it?
No, because that would only take out the form of the body, wouldn't it?
And can we slice the here-ness with a knife? Can we confine it inside a box? This is my here-ness and this is your here-ness. And somewhere in the middle is a boundary. Is that really how it is? What is it also, let's look at, what is it within us that doesn't want to admit this? What is it actually within us that doesn't want to accept this? That's a useful thing to look at as well.
Yeah. I know there is one belief that I have, that if I really fully kind of just acknowledge that I don't need the body to exist, then the body will be taken away from me, like, instantly. I don't know where that belief comes from.
Well, it's a very popular myth, isn't it? That as soon as, you know, all these sages and saints over the eons have like, okay, I'm not the body, all right, I'll ditch it then. you know, and there's almost this myth now that to realize the self is going to mean the body drops immediately. But it hasn't actually been like that for me. I'm actually really finally enjoying the body and all that comes with it.
Yeah.
And who could, if you're everywhere, who could make that decision to take the body away except you?
Well, it wouldn't really matter, really, would it, if I'm everywhere, where this body goes or not, really, doesn't it?
And how many bodies do you currently have? How many bodies are you currently experiencing through if you're everywhere?
Oh.
I'm just pushing the boundaries of the thinking here, right, because that's kind of my job, isn't it, to kind of push at the assumptions that I've only got this one body, and when it's gone, it's gone. And you know,
there was something wanted to reach for the panic button there. Go on. eject.
end meeting, quick end meeting. We're getting dangerously close here. But you can see that, because that which wants to hit the panic button doesn't, you say, but I don't feel like I'm everywhere. I don't feel like I am.
Yeah.
But is it ever going to be a feeling? Is it ever going to be a feeling that can happen in the body? That I'm everywhere?
Yeah.
What feeling or emotion or aha moment or whatever that happens in one particular body at one time only can reflect the knowingness that I'm everywhere? Is that even possible? If you kind of let go of trying to feel that I'm everywhere, there'll become a profound knowing that I am. It doesn't need to be confirmed in an experience. We can have a very brief experience of being everywhere, but that's got to come to an end. Because it's happening, and even that doesn't interest me at all, having an experience of being everywhere. I've got no interest in that at all. Totally dull to me. Because it comes and goes and it doesn't shift anything. It's just boring to me. I'm not interested in any phenomena at all in that way.
Yeah, maybe there's something still waiting for that kind of feeling of being everywhere somehow. I don't know how that would happen, because it's not going to happen, is it? Because the body can't do that.
If there is a symptom or a sign of knowing that everywhereness, it's peace in the body, absence of any sense of other. If I'm everywhere, then there is no other. And that will reflect as unshakable peace and love, because everything I'm perceiving is me. That's the feeling. Even if you had a massive epiphany right now, like earth shattering, oh my God, I'm actually everywhere. 2 hours later, you start having your dinner, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's not really all that important, is it, to have an aha moment?
No, I guess not.
It looks good for my teaching if everyone's like having, you know, like huge moments and, you know, but it's not actually changing you, is it? Because what we want is that knowing, okay, when I perceive from a location through my senses, from a place in time and space, from a particular body, through my senses and my mind, it will always feel like I'm only somewhere, always. My experience keep reinforcing that, and it's fine. And then if I perceive the noumenon directly, myself directly, without the senses, like we did last week in lesson 3, without the mind, it'll feel increasingly that there'll be a knowingness that I'm everywhere. And those two are still simultaneously present for me. I absolutely know I'm everywhere. And I absolutely feel somewhere. And I'm not at war with either of them.
Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. Sorry, that's a bit...
I get it. It took me a very long time to realise I'm never going to feel like I'm everywhere. And that's not the goal.
Yeah. I know I've heard you say that before, but hopefully that's got a bit deeper now this time.
Good. It's all good. Fantastic. Thanks for doing that with us. It's helped everyone, I should imagine.
No problem. It's been on at me for a while about it, so thanks for going through
and
it.
Everyone that wants to do that with me, I will do it with, you know, I'll do it 600 times if someone if needs to be, because every time you can be more convinced. There's no idea in me that you should have seen this already. It's just not possible. You always see it clearer. Always.
Lovely.
Lovely. Thank you. Okay, Eileen?
Hi, Helen.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. And thank Ian, thank you so much. That was beautiful. And I really, I just kept resonating with so much of what you were, your answers and Helen's guidance. So I can't wait to go back and listen to that again. And it always seems to be the way I put my hand up. And then by the time you get to me, I feel like I don't have a question, but I'll go ahead and try. And I guess why I raised my hand initially is I've been guided right now and through this month to be in being and stop doing just for now. It's just, you know, just sort of get more stillness, more quiet, more, I don't know, meditative, whatever. And I'm noticing that when I leave that space to go do, you know, my life, there's a beautiful sense of peace a lot of the time, almost like I'm taking that resting place. And I feel like that's the goal of awakening. I don't know if it is, but for me it is to have this, you know, sort of almost what you were describing as, you know, the place I find in meditation of the truth or whatever, to take that into washing the dishes and
yeah,
you know,
why should it leave? Why should we lose them? Just because the
daughter.
Yeah.
Exactly. But then so what I noticed over this last week though, and maybe this is just old stuff, but there used to be in me, I always used to say, I would get this guidance and I'd be like, thanks God, I got it now. And then there's something in me that would take over and run with it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I felt like this last week. Like I just went back into all my doing and felt like I was peaceful, but I wasn't like, there's a difference, or is there, of like consciously no resting here versus, I don't know, maybe it was just that I was doing my life and it was fun. So I almost feel like, oh, I don't need that or something. I don't know. I don't know. Am I making sense? It's like, does it matter to always be consciously at peace if I'm at peace in and not feeling conscious of it? I guess maybe that's my question. Is that the
less and less you have to put any attention on the noumenon, because more and more it's clear I am that. I've always been that. I cannot not be that. I am that whether my mind is busy or my body's busy or it's still. I am that whether my attention's on it or completely not at all. Okay. You know, if my body's very busy in the world, that knowingness will just be there in the background. There's less and less you have to go to it, and that's the symptom, the sign of the identity shifting, like in lesson three, that like I don't there was a changing aura of tuning in. The tuning in felt like it just dropped away, and it was just here.
Okay.
And it was just clear, it's just here, it's always here. And then it got clearer, I am that. And then you just watch your body go about its
right.
thing. It does its thing. And
are you watching all the time? I'm sorry. Are you watching?
Go ahead.
I feel like I'm not. Are you watching all the time, or is there a sense of knowingness? Because I guess my fear, here's my fear, is that I'm slipping back into the ego because I'm not always like, I'm just letting my life, I'm just in my life again and not.
Are you suffering when you go back in your life?
No, that's
then
been.
You can't be an ego, can
okay.
you?
All
yeah.
right. So that's the.
There's a watching that's always there, it doesn't feel like a personal watching. You know, it's just yep. right now you're noticing what these words mean. Your eyes are seeing all of that's just going on effortlessly. The noticing, isn't it?
Right.
So much so that we just don't even really need to put any attention on it, because it's obviously there, and even clearer, hopefully more and more, is a knowingness that I am that watching.
Right.
And you just live your life. You just have a happy life without getting caught up.
Can it be that simple? No, I'm kidding.
Yep. It feels like, oh gosh, I'm sliding backwards, because less and less is there any doing about spirituality, and more is there a being of it. You're actually realizing it, being it. And that doesn't come, it comes with less and less effort. Something pops up every now and again, and there might have to be a little bit of effort to contemplate or go back to the sense of self. But even that is just arising, and you're just watching, you know, that.
Right. So is the... Did you ask me if I was at peace or if I was suffering? Is that the litmus test that sort of maybe the ego has snuck back in, or that I've...
Any sense of suffering, there is some thought being believed that I've got something to do or somewhere to get back to. But the literal realization of the self, the lived experience of being the absolute, is I'm just here, not doing anything. And everything's just functioning by itself, and the body is doing. There's a rudimentary sense of doing, someone doing, that comes with the body, that lasts as long as the body does.
Yeah.
And it's all fine, and I've got no urge to choose which one I am. You know, not even a sense that I'm both, you know, because they're both the one thing expressing itself two different ways.
Okay. And is it okay if things are feeling really like exciting and...
Yeah.
I mean, I just, again, I have to watch my, I feel like I have to watch my ego, because it can, you know, it can get, I don't know. It just feel, I just, I'm cautious.
Life just becomes this wonderful, awe-inspiring thing that it's like, oh my gosh, like all the problems I thought I had are not really mine. That just becomes clear.
Everything's just flowing. It just feels
too good. Of course you're going to feel happier and excited. And, you know, for me, I was like 45-year-old woman on the outside, but really I'm just like a 3-year-old inside, like, woo, what's all this? It's exciting, you know. And it's, you kind of just learn to put on a serious face when you need to pretend to be serious, or someone's, you know, sad. You're obviously not going to go, sorry, you're making it all up. It's just... But inside, it's just life is exciting again. There's passion, there's energy, there's vitality, there's a wholeness. And you just can't wait. You know, it's saturated, you're being full. You can't wait to get out there and experience life. Like, what's it like now to move around in my life knowing what I actually am? You know, you've moved around in your life thinking you're a separate being. What's it like now? The self is curious to explore, isn't it? Noumenor wants to see. What's it like to be Eileen, you know, now? What does it feel like now? And it's so much fun.
Yes.
So much fun.
Yes. And there's just this, like, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's really what it is. It's like, this can't be.
It's just a little feeling that just leave ego. Because ego has this idea, again, it's not wrong. I'm not making it bad. It just can't be that easy. And nobody really realizes self. Who do I think I am to realize the self? You know, like, I do this 4-week course and I'm having so much fun, and it's not that easy. Something's gonna have to, you know, all this will just kind of
Lose this once Helen
over,
you're gonna go back to your
day 29 when the first time no nugget comes, that's it. It's all gonna just blow up in my face or something, you know. But it's because the ego, the mind, perceives in duality, and it cannot see the one, so it doesn't feel like it's getting anywhere. It feels like you're just avoiding stuff, know, and it's true from that perspective, from ego's perspective. It feels justified in what it's saying. You don't have to convince it. You just there, it's okay. We'll see, actually, if it all falls apart. Let's just see, know,
just let that go too.
Yet you don't have to try to get the ego to act like the self. It's just not possible.
Okay.
You know, just leave it where it is and go, that's fine. Thanks for your concern. But I'm just going to wait and see if it actually does all go wrong.
Yes. You know? And then I'll be emailing you and telling it's gone. Help
me. Lost it. Yeah. But even that you can't really believe now, can you, so much that you can lose
it?
Yeah. Less and less.
I just can really, then I can get still. I feel like I have tool. Like, then I just really go back into that place that you guided me in the last exercise, you know, in lesson 3, and find it and then move from there again.
Yeah.
It's just like coming back and then a move, you know.
And I got it, I lost it, kind of disappears, emerges into, here's an opportunity to just re-center, refocus,
Right.
And start again. And it's not a disaster then. It's just, oh, my attention slipped back to phenomena or something. Let me just bring it back. And then you're all good to go then.
Okay. So even when I'm running around, seeming like I'm doing, like, I guess doing has been a bad thing. I've been thinking, you know, you shouldn't be doing so much because that's not, I don't know, spiritual, whatever. You need to be sitting more and praying more, not praying, but you know, whatever.
It's going to be the opposite.
I'm doing a lot more.
Yeah. It'll be the opposite because you've got more energy. You've got more time. You know, my body is so much more efficient at getting stuff done than I ever was when I was trying to drive my body around and manage my life. I know you can get more done in less time with less energy because there's not this constant noise going on inside that's just draining you of your vitality and your well-being. You're not at war with yourself anymore inside. Your body will probably be much more active, you know, and you'll probably need a little bit less sleep. Your sleep quality will get better, you know, because you can actually just sleep when you're sleeping. You're not trying to figure stuff out, you know, all of that. So, right. So there'll be a sense of doing and a sense I'm not doing anything. And just both of those are fine, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Numenon in its own manifest is not doing anything. The body in its manifestation is doing lots. And you don't need to pick a side. You don't need to. It's fine. But both are there. And it's fine, isn't it? Because they're both expressions of the one being, the noumenon.
Okay.
Good. Good.
Okay. Thank
Very
you.
Good. Very good. And that'll help everyone as well. So thank you for sharing that. Okay, Mike. Let me just hang on, Mike.